like Daniel was praying, he said, the Lord walks in the midst of the candlestick. It's a random thing I'm tending towards saying. But I can say it now because we're together. So, imagine. I don't know how many people's mind it crossed, but you know, a couple of minutes ago we were not alone. I was not imagining that. We all manner of thoughts crossed my mind. Is this person on assignment? Is this person trying to spy at our location, Liberty? Is there another, what they call it, insurgent that's coming? Different thoughts of, maybe they've identified some of us. See, maybe they're coming to come and locate the faces in person. All manner of thoughts were running through my head. But then when I wanted to think those thoughts, and I said, who is with us now? Or like, what shall we do in case that is actually the case? He said, we shall pray, we shall bind, we shall cast, we shall do. But then, it now dawned on me that, we are not alone now. There's somebody who is actually chief and captain, which is all the more reason we cannot be coming late, because everything just aligned. You see, if the Lord is actually walking in the midst of us like this, then he's responsible for the place. Something cannot just come and pop. At best, it will be thwarted, or the spirit will just come. I say, I cannot dare to manifest, else I will lose this tabernacle that I'm inside, because they'll cast me out. Even the demons that the Lord casted out of that guy, the Gadarene, the guy possessed in the tomb, they begged him. He said, please send us to the pigs, because he knows that if he sends them to the pigs, then they can drive the pigs into the sea and they can be free again. But from that point, he gave them one and casted them. They have no more freedom to operate. So the enemy will just like, let me maintain myself. I'm the presence of the king. But just a side note that it dawned on me. When the Lord was upset with the Israelites because they said, we want a man. In different places in scripture, he will refer to himself as, thus says the king of Israel and your redeemer, the Lord of hosts, referring to himself. So we have a king. We have a captain. We have a covering over us, and he's walking. He's nightly way. We're admonished on his identity. Hair white as wool, eyes flame of fire. After he was describing it, I'm walking. I said, even if he not born anything. And so, that's just it. I don't know. It just hit me on a very practical note that we actually have a chief and a captain over us. That's why when Joshua was about to go to war, he saw somebody. He said, are you for us or against us? He said, nay. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? So when it dawns on you that, else, the way you look at it physically, but we're just a bunch of random people. It's just Episcopal, it's not nice native. But other than that, who else is dressed well? Okay, I'm there aside from my sisters and my brother. I'm keep the brothers, else I fall into trouble. But among the brothers, Episcopal is really, it's Episcopal. But, and we're just random people. We're just people like that, just gathered. But then we have a captain over us. So we are not just random. We are people under his interest. And that's part of what we want to admonish ourselves today. We left our respective houses. We came together. And then if you look at it generally speaking, what value can you place on yourself? The institutions of men, the governments, they have no clue that they're a bunch of people gathered in some place. This room number was 137 in Isbi Stabi at U of M. They have no clue. It profits nothing. Even if you bring that analysis to them, it amounts to zero. So we're just like that. So what value do we place on ourselves? It has to be the value that the Lord places on us, and we can only find that value as we look into the pages of scripture. So what do we want to admonish ourselves today? Last week we started on a meditation beginning from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. By the way, the Lord is giving grace for a summary to be produced. In the course of that being produced, everything just got very interesting. So let's just listen, take notes, ask questions, and trust that later on you will still have it to be able to read and digest at your own pace. Amen. So we titled the message by God's grace, "Who shall declare his generation?" Amen. Who shall declare generation? And after reading through and beginning the study, I started to get tempted to change the title to "The Days of the Son of Man."
The days of what?
The days of the Son of Man. But we'll leave it there. We'll just behave like the way we did for the Bible study, understanding your salvation hyphen. We are being saved. So who shall declare? Actually, maybe we can flip it. The days of the Son of Man hyphen. Who shall declare his generation? Any which way you like to chew on it. But what does it mean? Who shall declare generation? We'll talk. We'll try to be as admonishing as possible. Yes, a thought came to mind. I was talking with a sister, a very wonderful sister, through the course of the week. And we were looking at the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. And we just read, you know, sometimes, I remember I had one roommate in year 2. He had a book, you know, all of it in these courses where you have to read books. In this very unfortunate literature, he picked up the section he devoted that I'm going to read these pages. This was the who was the son of this? 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 He spent an entire page reading the son of. And he just closed the book out of annoyance. Yo, I just wasted, I don't know how many minutes, it's been 20 to something minutes of my life reading the son of. That was what he was supposed to read in this course. And you know, there's a similar way with which you read that book, Matthew chapter 1, and you are reading, it says, the generations of Jesus Christ. This, who was the son of this? 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 You read all the sons of, you now get to the end, it says, from Abraham to Babylon, 14. No, from Abraham to David, 14. David to Babylon, 14. Babylon to Jesus, 14 generations. And you're wondering, what concerns me with all these generations? But there are probably some very deep and prophetic things we can bring out of it. In simplicity though, those people in their time did not quite know the path they were following. They didn't know that someday their names would show up in Matthew chapter 1. They didn't know that the regular lives they were living somehow fit into divine prophetic purpose. So much that it was a change necessary to bring the salvation that Simeon would say, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." And they were living their lives, but it was necessary to produce that reality. Likewise, we are here. We came to Canada, different bases, different grounds, different permits, different things, studying different things. Somehow we connected. And to be honest, even after going through this, we may not even still know the full picture of our destiny and how we fit into divine purpose, but we just go through it by faith. And one of the persons there that caught my interest, this on some side admonition, was the woman Rahab. Roman scripture says she was a harlot. And this is a woman who, by all intents and purposes, she's in her way is not pure. She's not supposed to align. But she aligned everything by faith. It just tells you the divine providence of God. Hence, as we begin now, imagine it was said to Rahab, in Rahab, while she looked at herself and considered herself lowly and unworthy. He said, "Do you know that you are in the generation, but through you, will come out the Messiah?" See, do you know that somewhere in the mix of your loins, the Son of God shall be upon the earth? He says, "Excuse me, don't stretch the borders of my faith unnecessarily. Let me stay in my condemnation and remain there because that's where I'm supposed to be." But sometimes the Lord is very nice. He did not even bother preaching it to her. He just bypassed her and just went ahead to do what he would do anyways. Amen. So now, we may just be looking at ourselves, and the kind of things we want to begin to say may seem very wonderful. How shall we be a people to do what? Declare his generations. How shall we? It's similar that Rahab would have thought, how can I be someone that would cause the Son of God to be manifest upon the earth through some genealogical process? But the Lord is God. Just believe. Mary, he says, be it unto me according to your word, which was the way we ended in prayer last week. Now let's come to Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read from verse 1. For some reason, I think it's not a bad idea if we read it together, then we'll pause and exhort one another. Isaiah 53 from verse 1, he says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as out of a dry ground. And he had no form nor comeliness that when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth.
Yet please the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering from sin, he shall see his seed,
he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Key verses. Now, we know that our Lord Jesus has come to do this, right? We know. I mean, that's why we are here, because we believe that he has done this and he has paid for our sin. He has really done some lovely stuff for us. Like in our group yesterday, we were talking that one of the greatest expressions of faith a person takes is that faith to even begin the journey, especially knowing. Yeah. Especially those who have known the depths of Satan. A brother was admonishing us on the depths of Satan one time. Especially those who have known the depths of Satan. You know, they've really walked in darkness. You should not come and tell them that, you see, though your sin be red as crimson, he will make it white as snow. He tells you that, you see, when you are, he says, when every man comes to Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, he's become new. Every single thing you have done, when he said on the cross, it is finished, it means he has paid for it. And you can dissociate yourself from everything that was past and be completely new. Do you know the kind of faith to believe that story? That someone 2,000 years ago's activity now connects to you somehow. You can now in your mind throw away every, it's not just things, every life you live, things you did, pleasures you had with your own will, you should let it aside because somebody died on the cross for you. That faith is strong. that's why we're reading here. So it says, all we like sheep has gone astray, but God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was beaten with stripes, thorns. What Passion of the Christ did, beat him, now nailed him on the cross. So he paid for it all. We know he has done that. But now, verse 8, you know, it would have been nice to just, not nice, but you know, he wanted to just say he did these things or prophesied and then ended there. But verse 8 will say, who shall declare his generation? As though the story is not finished yet. Yes, he came and he did these things, but there seems to be an aftermath. It's okay. He said, who shall declare his generation? And he made a case. He said, why? Because he was actually cut off out of the land of the living. Meaning there is more to do, but was cut off. But the cutting off was necessary because that was the price to be paid for all our failings and our fallings. Then verse 10 now says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, which is when he died on the cross, he said he shall see his seed. Summarizing it. After he has made, you have made his soul an offering for sin, the next thing that we would see to complete the story is that he shall see his seed. Then he now says he shall prolong his days. And he now says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, why are we encouraging ourselves? We are encouraging ourselves because we are to be the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is his seed? A seed of someone is one who has the DNA of a person. And God has done it so that when you see father, you see son or daughter or children, they carry something. And some of these things are like nuances or gesticulations, not just physical appearance, the way someone does something, the way they blink their eye, even some the way the person walks is like. In fact, it may seem like maybe the father is lactose intolerant, the son is lactose intolerant. And sometimes even spiritual, the mother used to dream like no man business, the person who just inherited, carry dreaming like that. And so his seed, therefore, will be a people who are like him. And to even within the context of his days on earth, his seed will be a people who manifest the life, the glory, the character, the devotion, the dedication, the aura that he did while he walked upon the earth. His seed are such a people. So, ladies and gentlemen, he said, when he shall have made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He wants to see his seed. And his seed is a plural. He said it when the Greeks came, he said, we will see Christ. We want to see Jesus. He said, that's quite all right. But the issue is, for now, yes, I can say yes, here I am. But it says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But after he has done that, it will bring forth much, much fruit. And so, when he laid down himself, the desire was that he will reproduce himself. So what is coming in the story, in the span of the whole gist, is that there shall be people who are Jesuses, literally, like actual Jesuses. Walking people who have changed. You can see them say, ah, this is Wenye, this is Busola, this is Debbie, this is Payings, Rafaben. And you just say, this is this person, but then I know that this is Jesus I'm seeing, but this, I'm not even sure how to reconcile. Somehow I know this is Toyosi, this is Philip, but then it's actually Jesus. The vibe I'm getting, the life, the aura, the everything is Jesus, is Christ. It's the same type I could reconcile with as I receive of the Holy Spirit. Somehow this person is displaying the very same character as the Holy Spirit that I know. Mm-hmm. There shall be such a seed to walk upon the earth.
Amen.
And that's what. So that's why the hope is not sufficient. Just born again and their movies about left behind. Just born again and before you know, Jack Robinson, all the babies first, they'll go. Then other people can begin to fly. Too bad for you if you're in a plane and the pilot is a believer, because it's going to be gone. And that's how the story goes. But then it's not just vanishing like that at the point of believing. He's looking for a people that walk upon the earth and do what? Declare his generation. If the Lord Jesus were supposed to stay upon the earth and raise a family. Speaking of Abraham, he says, I know Abraham that he would lead his family and instruct them in righteousness. Imagine like some, you know, scenario for imagination's sake, the Lord Jesus was to walk upon the earth with all that his life and glory. He was to have a family. And they were supposed to be a generation. If it is said of Abraham that I know him, that I will instruct them to righteousness. Look at, except the one that was ordained for perdition, because that one was prophetically put in the number. Not that he turned, he was collected and dropped so that he can fulfill prophecy. But the real guy was later put in as a son born in due time, Paul. But now, imagine the product of his labor manifest as the 12 apostles. So great a caliber of human beings that you say there are 12 foundations. Say, don't worry, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And mind you, the definition of Israel at that point goes beyond the physical Israel, because Jerusalem now, so it's Israel, Jerusalem, Zion, the king. So Jerusalem now is not just the city, it's now the new Jerusalem, which is the church, the bride of Christ, as we see in Revelation 21. Likewise, Israel, when he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the community of all humanity at that point, they will all be believers, especially after the work of 1,000 years has completed, and all of them will be numbered to Israel. Because everybody that will be saved in Christ at some point, whether now, first fruit, the bride, the 1,000 years, because they're in Christ, they are still accounted to the seed of Abraham. Then you can see that whereas we seek to be as the stars of heaven, there will be many that will be the sand of the seashore. Those will be terrestrial, natural. Hopefully we remember what we studied in the resurrection study. Yeah. Amen. So, how do we go there? Why the reason for going there?
He
shall see his seed. Yes, if the Lord was upon the earth, raising a family, you can imagine that if he produced 12 apostles, then, aside from the fact that his wife would be so on point, his children, and I don't know how many, it would not be, if the Lord were upon the earth, it would be nice for him to have like many children, as many as possible, because each of those human beings would be, for lack of words, apostles. Every one of his children will be apostles. And they'll be such apostles that when they go after to have their own children will be apostles. The channel of life that will flow in his seed, they are not, if there is room to inherit spiritual gifts, which already happens, the inheritance of spiritual gifts, then the training of character that will follow, they would have to be, he says, the only way to describe them would be one holy race. Saints, everyone, because of where they came from. But now, he did not go through a natural route. He went into the spiritual, then he called the ecclesia, symbolic stuff, the bride of Christ. But that process of him having his seed, a generation of people who, for lack of words, they are all like apostles, saints, everyone, in character, in holiness. There's positional righteousness, there's experiential righteousness, the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for such a people. But when that seed begins to show up, or the fact that the seed has to show up, is for what? It says he shall prolong his days. And then in the prolonging of his days, what will happen? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Then he says he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now this prolonging of days is a big issue. He has to see his seed, a body of people who are Jesus's in character, in glory. And then that's why our Bible study on faith and many other things is very key, because you learn tenets, things that would help you in my own. I was just explaining in joy. Even though we're part of the people that were working on the outline, but something hit me yesterday. We're studying and we came across the one where it says, he said, he called those things which be not, as though they were. He said, okay, that's cool. He said, now I have a question there. brethren, so how do we apply this? One person, Ruby, said, we can actually use it for our brethren. I said, how do we do that? He said, well, you just think of your brethren in their perfected version.
Mm.
So you relate to that perfected version. While as yet the physical human being is close to the perfected version, you know, all things nice and good. Immediately the physical person deviates into weakness, you just continue to relate with the perfected person. But, and then we now move on to other examples, but they say, wait. I like, if there is a road that goes like this, say, brethren, there's actually, no, there's a mountain, you see, you can climb it. And I say, there is an elevator you can use. I know some people like to go through the mountain, say, it takes 3 hours, but with this elevator, in 5 minutes, you'll be there. I don't mind the elevator. I like, so long as there's no extra benefit that I'm losing along the way, maybe there are coins to pick up if they walk in the path, but they said if you take the elevator at every level, they will still give you the coin. Just open the door, collect the coin, and move to the next level, collect the coin. So I like the easy route. What happened there? What happened there? When you relate with that perfected version of your brother, all of a sudden, this person cannot cause you strife. This person does not offend you. This person does not cause you grief. You can't even be jealous of the person. You cannot misinterpret the person's words because everything about this person is Christ. Will you begin to relate with Christ? It's perfect. But now, although you are relating with this version, you have done something. You have bypassed some of the works of the flesh. You don't need to begin to worry about unforgiveness because you won't even be offended. I don't know if you are seeing this. You don't need to worry about strife. You don't need to worry about the patient. You don't need to worry about bowels of mercy. You don't need to worry about, just take the works of the flesh and just have some of them that show up in person-to-person interaction. When you create a perfected version of your brother in your mind and relate with that, you bypass things like that. And I say, okay, how do we apply this? Okay, I've learned this with the human being. What if the person is an unbeliever? Then one of our brothers say, you relate to the person as a potential believer. So you bring the person from unbelief to belief. It's because what we're calling those things which be not as though they are. You call the unbeliever into a believer. And in the domain of believer, you call the believer to perfection. And you relate with the unbeliever as a perfected believer. All of a sudden, this person can be doing these things, but then you are relating with a perfected person in your mind. You are thinking of a perfected person in your mind, and you are bypassing the whole chunk of the works of the flesh. So fine, how do we relate with lust of the eyes? There is a car, a BMW, or there is a house, there is a wristwatch, there are clothes, there are shoes, there are this. How do you relate with that? And I say, okay, there is a law with which you call those things which be not as though they are. Because even God, what does he do? He says he does things according to the counsel of his own will. So the calling, his calling is consistent with his will. Amen?
Amen.
And so concerning the believer, the perfected version is you call him as a perfected person. Concerning a car or a house or a wristwatch or any of these physical things, what do? You call it in the perfection of what the word says about it. Which is, it is all that is in the world. Pass away. So you look at the car, and then in the perfected sight, that's gone. There's no car. You look at the wristwatch, there's no wristwatch. You look at the house, there is no house. You can even look at it in the context of career and ambition. You want to attain to have this conglomerate. In the perfected version, it does not exist. So you relate with that fact that it does not exist. And if you can indeed call those things which be not and call that company into non-existence by the same principle, you just bypass. You bypass there. Bypass pride. You bypass wrong ambition. You bypass self-glorification. You just bypass a whole bunch of stuff. You say, okay, what about lust? You know, there's this person, they're just, you know, they're going about their life, they're doing whatnot. Now say, if it is in the house of God, you call the person as a sister. This person is my sister, and if not a sister, it's a potential sister. Say, shall you lust after your sister? We say no. But then there's even another dimension. They say you don't have to stop there. You can look at the sister, and you call the person forth as a brother.
That's right.
Amen. Because in the resurrection, there's no show. No male or female. It's a different ball game. So when you look at it, you just look at the person and say, oh, brother. In your mind, you just establish the person in that estate. Or you just consider all those other things that the enemy wants to suggest to you in the perfected version. It is non-existent. Zero. So you just relate with the person, relate with the situation, and just it is gone. If you can actually by faith call those things which be not as though they are, you bypass so many things. Which now makes sense why scripture will say this is the faith, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But what is in the world? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It now, I used to know it's safe, but now it hits me well how you can practically and technically use faith to overcome the world and all its content if you can simply call the perfected version of everything and relate with that. Even if the person is dressed inappropriately, you just clothe the person with garment of righteousness. Say, brethren, can you lust after someone who has his hair white as wool? Will you lust after someone whose feet is like burnished brass? Will you lust after someone whose eyes are like flame of fire? No. Will you not lust after someone who is garment white as the light? So you clothe the person in your mind. You relate to the perfected picture. And if you can actually do that in every case, you just bypass grief. But why do we need to know these things? It is because we want to be overcomers. We want to be these people that shall be his seed. Because when the Lord was training his people, that's why he took time. He did not rush them. He did not just beat them with words. He did not just give them a whole bunch of rules. Even when the Pharisees want to come and say, your disciples are not fasting, say, leave them, I know what I'm doing. By the time I'm done with them, you have no standing before them. Look at now, there it says 12 foundations and their names. If you see the stones that are used to describe each of the 12 apostles, sapphire, topaz, amethyst, all manner of stones. But what did he took time. Took time. One person, in one time, one of his guys was messing up. He said, Satan desires to. Talk about the lovely father. Satan desires to have you. But I've prayed for you. He said, come and pray with me. He slept. He said, can you not watch with me? He said, no, don't worry. Sleep. The time has come. That kind of person. So he's walking around, he's taking them, he's explaining. You will rebuke the people, you will turn to them, you start to give them one. Give them barrier, give them one. But he took time. And he trained them with tenets, values that would help them overcome, which is where our Bible study, our Wednesday, every exhortation is necessary. Because the bigger picture is we want to be his seed. And being his seed, overcomers, we want to be the people that shall prolong his days. Now, having exhorted ourselves on a personal level, let us go into the bigger picture. Turn with me to Luke. Luke 17, we can read from verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of disciples when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. 22. It says, and he said unto his disciples, the days come when ye shall desire to see one, just one, of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. What are the days of the Son of Man? The days of the Son of Man is the period when the Son of Man is manifest, particularly on earth. The period of his visible presence on earth. The period of his visible, in quote, parousia on earth. He says the days are coming when you want to see, because obviously, after that, he had revealed himself as a spirit. He walked with them, but it's a different dimension. But as to the days of the Son of Man, as that 3.5 years where he walked upon the earth, from when they said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased," to when he ascended, that kind of manifestation, he said, "You will seek to see it, and you will not see it." This is the disciple. You know, it's a different ballgame if you say it to unbelievers or Pharisees. These are to his people. These are his people who later became apostles. But he said, "You would look for one of my days, and you would not see it." Why? Isaiah 53 told us what? "For he was cut off from among the living." But now, what does he now say in verse 10? He says, "He shall do what? Prolong his days." So, to these people, he's saying, "Now you see me, you see me, you see me in this my visible parousia. The days come when you shall not see it anymore." If that's where, but then he continued, which we'll come to. In Isaiah 53, he said, "Yes, because he was cut off from among the living." But he says, "Who shall declare his generation?" So there's to be a continuation of the days of the Son of Man. So Isaiah 53 will say, "And who shall do what? Prolong." He says, "He shall prolong his days." And he says, "The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Then he now begins to tell them some prophetic stuff, which was obviously past their time. So then we can say we are quite privileged. We are those upon whom the end of the age is come. Because unlike the disciples' era, where they saw the first parousia of the Lord, the first, the first manifestation of the days of the Son of Man, the presence of the Lord Jesus upon the earth. And he told them that the times come when it shall pause. But then Nabi has to say things which is particularly relevant to us now. It says, "And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them." Another Matthew will say, "Here is Christ, there is Christ." It's not just, you know, there are some people that say, "Oh, I am Jesus." That one is not real deceit. Anybody that follows them is confusing. The word Christ simply means anointing. So here is anointing. Here is a revelation. Here is the, you know, this is an unveiling of the Lord. Here it is. He said, "Do not follow." Again, this is particularly for us. It cannot be said to of the disciples, because these are people, his shadow is healing people. So you don't need to tell him, "Go there." You say, does not apply. But it's for us now at this time. They shall say to you, "There's a man of God. There's a power. There's an unveiling. There's a this, there's a that." He said, "Don't do it." But what does he say? He says, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Which, we'll see how the Lord will lead us, but in understanding the details of the Son of days of the Son of Man, you'll find yourself having to arrange the days of Noah. If you read on, you see the days of Lot. If you read on, you see two shall be in the field, one shall be taken. If you read on, you have to align the gathering of the eagles. If you read another one, you now say, "He that is in the housetop, don't come down." But that is exactly what happened when you see the abomination of desolation. If you now go to Luke 21, you now see that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. So when you align all of them together, that will give you the days of Son of Man. But I just said it like that because we're not going there. Now, our emphasis is to exhort us on, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus, as we read, came to do a very lovely work. He was present upon the earth to do a great work. There was a lot of manifestation, but there was a purpose for it. Part of that purpose involved him being cut off. We'll say it is lovely. But we have a hope. We have a lively hope. In addition to the glorious hope, there is a hope to be part of his return. But a return before the popular return. And where do we see that? It says, because he shall prolong his days. There is a work that he has to do still upon the earth. But who will he use to do it? He will use his seed. It is through his seed that he shall prolong his days. It is through his seed that the pleasure of the Father shall prosper in his hand. Amen.
Amen.
Are we following this so far? It makes sense. So, that was why this dimension of the days of the Son of Man, we'll see how the Lord would lead us, but there's grace, but we'll just see how the Lord would lead us down the line. But now, this is just to bring the story home. Hopefully, we remember what we were saying last week. So last week was just straight on technical, to establish a point before we begin to exhort one another. So now, Isaiah 53 has told us that he has done all this lovely stuff, but he shall prolong his days. Luke is telling us there's a time when you desire to see the days of the Son of Man, you will not see it because it shall be cut off. Nonetheless, speaking of the end times, he begins to speak again of a manifestation of the days of the Son of Man. There shall be such a period again. And we are that body of people through whom the prolonged, or should we say the extended days of the Son of Man will be expressed. I don't know about you, but that's a big vision. And I want to be part of it. And so, like we encourage ourselves with Matthew, it may seem as though we are random. We are just here. Seemingly insignificant. No name, no structure, in quote. Although we do thank the Lord that the King of Glory is walking in the midst of the candlestick, walking amongst us. He is our value. But we have a clear hope, which the majority of other people don't have. Not because they don't have it, but it just so happens. Whereas their glory may be in this beautiful structure, our glory is in the fact that the Lord is telling us and preparing us for something great. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he showed up purposely, he could have been born in a nice established hospital that has given birth to many children. He was born in a manger. Seemingly, witnesses were the horses, the cows, and those are the people that were around. Seemingly of no value. But that's just the way. He is the value. He doesn't need anything to add to his value. He is the value. So the Lord in the midst of us is our value. He's our purpose. He's our identity. And so when it becomes clear, because we need to understand clearly, lest we think to ourselves, we are just a body of people. We do not have a sense of direction. We have a clear sense of direction. Our hope is to be his seed. Our hope is to be the vessels through whom he shall prolong his days. We know we are in the end times, and we want to be a part of those people that he shall use to express the days, the return of the days of the Son of Man. That's exhortation. And that's good technical. Last week, we looked in this very same discussion that we have had, Daniel, chapter 9. He was making intercession, was saying, Lord, Busola, are you understanding what we're saying?
Yeah.
Are you sure? No. You're looking not very deep, you know.
No,
not now. Prior to this, you are just looking as though you are sober. Is the word making you sober?
Yes.
It's supposed to make us sober. It could be sober.
Yeah.
Except for evaluating ourselves. Because me, too, I was sober before now, and probably be sober after I leave this place. Because it's like, Lord, I want to be part of your seed. But that's where things like those learnings from men, that my faith, my overcoming does, it's not a time function, it's not far. It need not be, in the sweet by and by. Once you understand the right principles, he says, let there be light. Forgive me to digress again. We're talking. I said, I like the Big Bang Theory. Yes, I like the Big Bang Theory. I like Big Bang Theory when you mix it with Sonic Boom. How many of us in here know Sonic Boom? In my group the other day, not many people knew Sonic Boom. I was quite disappointed. You know Sonic Boom? Please, if you know Sonic Boom, raise up your hand.
And you say, what's that about?
That means you don't know anything. Sonic Boom.
The Hedgehog.
Oh, that
game. It's not the Hedgehog. Not the game. That's Sonic, what happened? That was something else.
Is it the Hedgehog?
No, that's the game. No, brethren, let's come together, please. It's not the game, no. Sonic Boom. This is a digression, but the Lord give grace. It's not a digression because what are we learning? We want to be the seed. In being the seed, we have to understand some things to accelerate our advancing into being that seed. And understand and reconcile the fact that the world will not necessarily appreciate you are racing towards being that seed. But it's fine because the Lord has done it in such a way and manner that it will only have a people for his own self. When the Lord was coming, he did not need any institution to celebrate him. He did not need an entourage. You know, nowadays people will give birth and say, yay, he's a boy. The Lord did not need any of that. But the people that celebrated him were the heavens. It says, oh, rejoice, hail, the son is born, a child is given. A child is born, a son is given. You know, they rejoice, glory in the highest. They were very happy. Likewise, the heavens know us, if indeed we have this vision and we are pressing onto it by faith. Sonic boom. A sonic boom is when a jet, different things happen, but a projector, but I like to use a jet. It's flying, it's going. Then it begins to go at a speed where the sound is not telling the story properly. It's trying to push air, but air is not moving as fast as it wants to move. It now begins to overtake the speed of sound. Then a cloud begins to form at its front. Then midway through the jet, it just breaks with a loud cry. Then it just overtakes. That's the point where the jet has overtaken sound. So that's why what you happen, you just see jet, no sound. Then later on, same thing with lightning. Light is faster than sound. So you just see light, but it's the same thing that happened. That light has sound with it, but light is faster. Light should have gone and come back. Then later on, you now hear thunder because the sound was still racing to come at me. So jet overtook the speed of sound. You just go. Then later you just hear, but the jet has already gone. And I like to use it in light. That's why I say I love the Big Bang Theory. Now, I don't like the Big Bang Theory. I just like Big Bang. And why do I like it? Again, this is all exhortations unto righteousness as we press on to be that seed. Amen. It says, the world was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, you know. Thick darkness, as though a veil of darkness has surrounded the edge. They are like, oh, it's not going to happen. They've hailed it, thick darkness. But God now says, I'm digressing too much. He says, let there be light. I find myself repeating what I'm saying. What we were discussing with Jimmy Ricky, a very, very lovely contributor. I'll just say it anyways. Because it's not profitable for us to just talk about 3.5 years and another 3.5 years and then we do not quite see how we fit into the picture. So in Ezekiel chapter 2, the Lord said, Son of man, stand upon your feet and I will talk with you. This guy was weak, though. He was weak. But now, what happened? This is why I like this part. He said, then the Spirit is God. Stand up, son of man, stand upon your feet and I'll talk with you. The Spirit went to the guy, entered into him, stood him upon his feet. Because the king cannot lie. That word he sent has a spirit. It's like there's a spirit to every word. And sometimes you can reconcile what Uncle Richard was saying, that every word is a being. When you speak it, the spirit behind it says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why you have to, except you apply the right faith. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It is the power of God unto salvation. Once you interact with the word by faith, you read it, you interact, you have a condition and you want deliverance. You open yourself to the word because you know that the spirit in that word will come. The guy was weak. He had just seen some next level vision, he was down. But the Lord did not say, ah, and you are tired. No, son of man, stand up and I will talk with you. The Spirit went, entered him and stood him up. And then the Lord can speak. Or the one he said to Job, get your loins like a man. I will require of you and thou shalt answer me. God. Instead of giving him question that, If they give you a jam, you definitely fail. You say, where were you? You say, are you there when the mountain goat is giving birth? You say, no. Why? What kind of answer? You see, I say, you know where the lightning is born? Or some kind of question like that or something. But like, how did we go there? Yes. He spoke a word, and then the spirit went, entered, and made it revealed. Likewise, he looked at darkness, and he says, let there be light. Mm-hmm. Nigeria film. You know, these people think jazz. They will speak. They will not send evil. If the film is very detailed, you see one small demon, you appear. You will not go to the person's house, appear by the person when he's sleeping, and try to compress him or try to do something. If he just happens to be a believer, either there's a wall of fire he cannot enter, or he will enter and he will try to do it, he will bounce back. But they have to complete the assignment. So, because you have sent me, you go back to the person that sent you. They will do the thing on him. But then that reveals something. The person is just saying, he's just sending a word, but there is a spirit that is going to go and do it. But now, the spirit that can be at the disposal of a person is only the spirit at under the realm of that person's access to authority. When you are now quoting in the name of Jesus, you know how it was said, Lazarus, he said Lazarus. Mm-hmm. He said concerning the Jews, and he sent the letter, he said, don't worry, on account of this, all the princes of the king, the generals, the warriors of the entire kingdom are at the disposal of this new law to defend the Jews. So, combining everything to tell you why I like the Big Bang. When he says, let there be light. Imagine the kingdom of darkness holding shield to shield. Okay, no, we're not lying. We're going to hold this place. He says, let there be light. The host of heaven. It's not just a spirit now. The entire league of light. In response, when he says, let there be light, there's a spirit and spirit, forces of heaven, to make sure that that light will show. And so, I like the bang because it's similar to the sonic boom. The bang is the equivalent of the sonic boom. The sonic boom is, I am going to pass. Sounds like, but air is like, no, you cannot overtake me. I'm going to pass. You cannot, I'm going to pass. When you now finally pass, it's with a shout. Likewise, you send the light, darkness is like, no, man, you cannot enter. I'm not coming to discuss with you. The king said, let there be light. Yes, light. And the bang is the shout of victory, because that bang is light announcing to the community of darkness that yes, here we are. And you begin to just evolve like a ball of fire, and just, it says solar flare. You just release the waves, and darkness starts to run out of their hiding places. They are just running and running because the light is perpetually chasing darkness, and it's just going. Why do we go there? The Lord is mighty. So when you open your Bible, interact with it with faith, knowing that it is what? The power of God unto salvation. That's why the enemy will try to discourage you from reading it. I was listening to a testimonial on Ebola. And what he did was, he would try to stop the person from... There was this lady that survived Ebola. How did she make it? She kept drinking this drink. She kept drinking it. You had to drink it. But the thing does not want you to eat. Everybody lost their appetite. The thing tastes very bitter in their mouth. But you can't keep drinking it. The other people were like, this is too. She was a doctor, somehow she contracted the disease. There was a war. There were other people. But because of discouragement, I cannot keep taking this thing. Die. She just watching people die around her. I said, no, I cannot die. She would drink, she would be confessing by faith, talking to her pastor through iPad or phone, drink. She does not like it. She would drink it and vomit, drink it and stool, but she kept drinking. This drinking, I must drink it. And she drank. On the background, her immune system is gaining back life until it became strong to fight out. And she walked out of that place victorious. So, there is this thing that is because we want to be the seed. In the bigger picture, Revelation 12, we say the dragon stood to devour the man-child. The man-child is a prophetic picture of when this seed is revealed. And his ministry, what was the first name he's called? The accuser of the brethren. So one of the ways to stop the seed from manifesting is as simple as accusation. You create a scenario, you fall or you do not fall, you're about to fall, you were thinking of falling, you are accused either way. And you continue to, in fact, you can accuse you till you say, man, there's no point. Let me just fall the fall. So that I know that this accusation is what it deceit. Mystery of iniquity. But what do? You interact with the word of God, because it is what? Spirit and life. And as you interact with it, it will come forth. Just as it did to Ezekiel, the spirit will come to you and empower you. And if at all the host of darkness wants to resist it, the spirit will be able to shout, to just bang out of you. And you would find yourself evolving. So because he knows everything he has put in place, that's why he would dare to say, be ye perfect. It's a similar thing he could tell to Peter, walk upon the water. He would say to an imperfect somebody, be perfect. Like, not just be perfect like this other person is perfect, be perfect like that man is perfect, be perfect like Moses, be perfect like Elijah, not any of those. Be perfect like your father. It's perfect. Now you want to... Lord. Be perfect the way your heavenly father is perfect. That exact level of perfection, that's what you should have. He can dare to say that because he knows the power. If only you would use what he has made available, you would have to change. That's why he says, we beholding his image as in a glass are changed. Because if you are beholding his word, the spirit that is coming as you will change you. You are weak. You are falling. You say, I'm unable to walk with God. You just need to hear it says, stand upon your feet. And the Spirit will come to you and stand you upon your feet. But we are supposed to be the seed of the Lord. What do you want to be a seed? He says, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall be prosper in his hand. To the disciples, he said, you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. But now, why do we need to admonish and encourage ourselves? Because the time is close. We are about to be at that time when he says, although he says, you will desire to see one of the Son of Man, and I shall not see. He now began to answer the next verse. He says, they will say to you, here is Christ, here is Christ, here is Christ, don't go. What should you look for? As the light cometh out of the east and shine it unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Another place now says, as he says, it says, for wheresoever the body is, there shall the eagles be gathered. Matthew 24. And we can come to that. We'll expand on this later, but an interesting point about that. You know, sometimes the scripture will use the word lightning. It's like, say, I beheld Satan falling down as lightning. The reality is that if you look at the root of the root of the root word, it's actually saying as a star thrown down. So, visually speaking, lightning, because generally you say lightning, or if you take a star and you throw it down, visually they appear the same. So sometimes you have some languages where they will just use a complicated thing. They will use simpler things to describe. There's no word for that one thing. They will just use other elements to describe it. So in an attempt to describe that flash of light fall, it says as a star thrown down. In English, it was not turned to lightning. But when you see it as a star thrown down, it helps. You've not carried that again where it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming. But then the coming does not really help you. The word there is actually means so shall the presence. So this is what he's saying. For as the, we will understand now. So the lightning is also synonymous to the move of a star. Initially, I was thinking maybe it's the rising of the sun, which is one dispensation of understanding. But now don't know me. When you realize that it's not so shall the coming be, it's, so, it's the presence, meaning it's already around, then your mind can now go to what happened in Matthew chapter 2. think it's 2. It's 2, yes. When he speaks about the wise men, they saw a star from the east. They followed it. Mind you, that's the first parousia. The presence of the Lord is already around. In the first part, what did he tell them? If they say he's here, if they say Christ is here, he says, don't go. What should you pay attention to? Like them, but when you understand it, it says the star. Moving out of the east to the west. And this, that simple move east to west is trying to point back to what happened at his first appearing, his birth. It is by the identifying the star and following the star to the source that you say, oh, this is he that is born King of the Jews. Yeah.
So basically you're saying that the star is supposed to be used as a tool to identify the false visions that basically Christ is here and Christ is not here, right?
Yes, correct. But then he would not have to explain to you what the star is, not the physical star.
Good.
Yes, so that is the reality. So what he's telling them is, whereas there is false Christ, in this time, to locate the body, the people that are his seed, or locate where you can be prepped into being his seed, it is by, if peradventure your eyes are open, to see, no wonder it's actually eagles that can, because when he says, speaking about eagles, he says, her eyes see afar off. You should be able to identify the star and follow it. What is that? It's simply light. And how do you see light? Speaking about the, we'll expand on this later. But speaking about the way we read, it says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. But the stars being angels are nothing of themselves. The angels are human persons, where it says you write to this angel of the church in Ephesus. But these are human beings. Again, the human being is nothing. It's the star element in them that makes them something or prophetic. But what is the star element? The bright and morning star is inside of them. So the light and the truth of the light and the revelation of the light of the word of God shining through the vessel makes the person a star, because he's simply mirroring the identity of the bright and morning star. So what do you pursue? Do not just pursue false here. You will identify the source, the location, the incubation point of where you can evolve into being that seed and his vessel and body to complete or manifest the prolonged or extended days of the Son of Man by seeing the star. So your eyes have to be trained. He says those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised. You have to interact with truth, be able to know and see what light is. And this is a message best for people who are outside, because it is, and then it's now an exhortation to us, because as we grow, we, by God's grace, ought to give people such an opportunity. The more we evolve into being his seed, because he's a star, we become expressions of his light. So, blessed is this parable if it is fulfilled to another person while you are in school. And they just hear of Daniel speaking, and the person is like, why is comment such speech? How did this person get to know these? What kind of character do I see displayed as skip the dishes? You're just walking there, but they're seeing your person. You're giving a presentation. You're just going about your life. You're in your group, but then they're seeing and they're drawn to it. He says, come. Where, show me, where is he? Or where is, how are you? Because he's come, he's present, it's him they're coming to. And he's walking in the midst of the candlestick like this. And he's the one that is producing us into this thing that will be his seed. But as you go about your daily life, they see the star shining and they follow to the source. Then in another place, he now says, for where the body is to feed on, which he later calls the carcass, the lamb that was slain. It says, there also shall the eagles be gathered. So blessed are those who are eagles and people that wait upon the Lord to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Again, why are we saying all this? We want to be his seed. We want to be Jesus's. We want to be changed. We no longer just want to be ourselves. We want to be a light. In fact, prior to the manifestation, so that by our being a light, it says, take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine, so that you can save yourself and those that hear you. Likewise, as you have seen this vision, you have seen this light, you have gotten this hope, you have appreciated these things, that this is what I want to become, this is what I want to be part of. Other people can have a chance to be part of it just by you being that light. How sad it is if we don't even know what our hope is. We don't even know the prophetic significance of this assembly. We don't even know why God has gathered us in this way. We just think, alas, it is yet another church. Service was beautiful. And we have no focus, no understanding. That would be sad. But we are pressing on to be the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ to prolong his days. Last week we said, as was told to Daniel, Daniel was crying out for his people Jerusalem. But what did the Lord tell him instead? He says, for my people and for the city Jerusalem. The answer he got was for his people, but not his physical people. His people who are spiritual Jews. His people who are Christians, descendants of Abraham by faith. So that's why he told him, don't worry, you cannot understand now. But at the end, you shall stand in your lot among these people. So Hebrews will say, don't worry, they've done a lot of things, but they without us shall not be made perfect. So God gave him an answer, not just about the physical Israel, but about the spiritual Jews, Christians. As concerning the Jerusalem, the answer he got was not for the physical Jerusalem, but we understand it's for the new Jerusalem, which is the church. Now, concerning the reconciliation of all these things, he now says, 70 weeks are appointed unto your people and your city to seal up the vision and prophecy, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, verse 24, to make reconciliation, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the Most Holy. We have gone in this dimension to exalt and get the meat for ourselves, so that we don't dwell too much on the technical details, which we spent time doing last week. But he now says, in these 70 weeks, from the time when there is a command, so this part now is just for prophetic reference point. The emphasis is on the final week. In these 70 weeks, I've told you, it will begin from an effort for physical Jerusalem. It will end in an effort for spiritual Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
I'm rounding up.
No, hold on. Sorry. So, okay. So it's either we ask brief questions based on what has been said. You know, we ask because the way I'm seeing this trend, it's carry on to the next one again. So yeah, that's for you. So we ask questions.
Okay.
That just be on what has been said.
Right.
And also before you enter the 70 weeks, you have to also give a brand, because there are people here that were not here last Sunday that wouldn't know what we are talking about 70 weeks.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm doing now is actually summarizing in probably 5 minutes everything that was said last Sunday. So we first half is to exhort thoroughly. Then we just want to remind ourselves of where. Because now I've said that he shall prolong his days. We have said who shall declare his generation. We have said the days of the Son of Man. We now want to look at Daniel to see that, hey, there's actually a clear prophetic timeline. And then we'll close it there. So, Daniel was crying out to the Lord, my people. Hopefully we read Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. My people, my city, I was his body. And the Lord lifted that body past his physical people his physical city. Amen. And so he now, he says 70 weeks are ordained, and he timed that 70 to begin from the physical, but the fullness was in the spiritual. So he says, from the time when there's a command to restore and to build Jerusalem, that's physical Jerusalem, until when Messiah the Prince comes, 69 weeks, 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. Now, Messiah the Prince came when he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then from that point, he now says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In another place, he now says, in the midst of the week, he shall be cut off. And Isaiah 53 said it. He says what? For he was cut off from among the living. Who shall now declare his generation? Half, in the middle of the week. Now, when we say week now, the scripture actually, English word uses week, is actually seven. There shall be 77s, but the reference to 1 7 is a year. There's a place in Ezekiel, actually, in Ezekiel chapter 3 or 4 or 5, 4, it says, I've appointed unto you a day for a year, in reference to, so you shall accomplish the siege of Jerusalem, in the prophetic expression. To you is 1 day, but prophetically you are identifying a year. So likewise, when it says 70 weeks, a week is simply a group of seven, but the reference is to 7 years. So 77 is 490 years. Amen?
Amen?
And so now, it says from that time to when the command to restore and to build, sorry, from the time to restore and to build Jerusalem to when Messiah the Prince comes, there shall be 69 weeks, which is 483 years. 69 times 7. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In confirming the covenant with many, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will be cut off. So the Lord Jesus starts out his ministry, and it lasted for 3.5 years before he was crucified. So now when Isaiah 53 says he shall prolong his days, Daniel shows it as the remaining half of Messiah's week. When the Lord Jesus will speak of the days come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. The first days of the Son of Man was the first 3.5 years of Messiah's week. When he says you shall not see it, is when it cut off. So it cut off close to 2,000 years ago, and it paused. Why? Because Messiah is not around. It is his week, and it paused. But then when his seed is formed, and is born, and is revealed, it says the manifestation of the sons of God, then the counting continues, and then you now have the remaining. That remaining is what he now speaks of in Luke 17, Matthew 24, about the days of the Son of Man. It shall be as the time of Noah, it shall be as the time of Lot, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken. It says the gathering of the eagles, and that's where Revelation 12 is, the birthing of the man child. So I'll close there, and like we said, we can take questions so that we can chew it for our personal selves. But in summing it, we want to be the seed. We want to be the seed. If we don't take anything home, we want to be the seed. We want to be the generation of Jesus. We want to be Jesus's. And we have to apply all other avenues and resources to accelerate our progress into being Jesus. Because the time of the recruitment of Jesus's is now. Vessels that will be used to prolong his days. For a prophetic 3.5 years of intense ministry to complete Messiah's week. And it's a serious unveiling. The beauty of being part of it is those people shall be first fruits unto God. The grace of the Lord Jesus, Spirit and Spirit.
Amen.
So, questions?
So when you were saying You said something about it was paused because Isaiah was not around. Again, my question is it, like, what do you mean by that? I'm just going to explain what I mean. Because, like, so he said, or he mentioned a point that, like, the 3.5 weeks, it was cut in Eden, paused for over, like, 2,000 years because Messiah is not around. So my question is it, since, like, in, like you said last week, the calculation of from when, what's his name, Nehemiah was to build the temple till when Jesus was revealed as the Son of God was 483 years, right? And then it was remaining like 3.5 years that he was cut short in the middle. And
433, then remaining seven.
Sorry, seven. Yeah. And then he was cut off 3.5 years. So, like, you know, Jesus made, before, when he left, he said, I will never leave. So he has been technically around. So, but I'm just, my, I guess my question is, so when would, like, the 3.5 or the remaining last week, is it starting from the moment when the sons of God are revealed? Or is it, since you said the, it's not, like, instead of the word coming is the wrong way to look at it, because it's presence, right? Meaning he's here, it's just...
The actual Greek word coming is not coming. If you look at the Greek word, it's parousia, which means presence.
Yeah, so, like, if it's presence, that means he's technically present, like the three magi. Anyway, like, Jesus was really there, he just followed the star, and then he... saw him technically. So is the coming at that point, would it now be the revelation of, like, the manifestation of the sons of God? That would be, I guess it's more of like a revelation than not, like, or like opening of eyes for people to see. Yeah, I'm trying to understand what you mean by it.
Okay. Yeah, I get your question. What I meant by that is,
explain the question first.
A question is it came forth out of my mouth that the time is paused. So Messiah has 7 weeks to accomplish. He said he shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 weeks. Sorry, 1 week, which is 7 years. And that in the midst of the week, he shall be cut off. So he did his first 3.5, but the remaining 3.5 has not been counted yet because Messiah, it's Messiah's week. Messiah is not around or manifest to complete. It's when he returns that you have the remaining 3.5. So she's not saying, like, questioning the Messiah is not around, which, yes, is a general statement and can be misunderstood in the dimension she's asking, which is, he says, I shall not leave you nor forsake you. So then is the presence of the Lord at the time of the unveiling of the sons of God? That's the question. So now, as to an answer, the Lord Jesus says that the time is coming when, he says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. And so he wants to reveal, there's the time comes when there shall be a corporate revelation of Christ as many fruits. Now, when you look into scripture, you now start to talk about the what they call it, the man child, which is, I will just mention it. You now start to talk about the man child. Revelation 12 gives a prophetic timing of the birthing of these people that will be used to complete the remaining half of the week. The unveiling of those people, which we have called his seed, is what equates to the presence, the return of the presence of Messiah in the very caliber with which it was manifest the first time. So speaking about these people and they're coming to that level, Ephesians 4, we say, he has given all these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists. So even the presence of apostles and prophets and evangelists is not yet his presence. In that, yes, the Lord is present in his spirit, but he's talking about his visible manifestation on earth through a body. He used a physical one body the first time. Now it's going to be a corporate body until there is such unveiling upon the earth. That's what's called the days of the Son of Man upon the earth, when people can see Jesus is walking upon the earth. But now, there's a criteria for this Jesus, because it's the kind of body he will use this time. In Ephesians 4, it says, till we all come in the unity of spirit, the unity of faith, the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto, we are many, but it says, unto a perfect man. That perfect man is the picture of the body he will use. He now says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what we are saying is that there shall be a body of people who would manifest the very, every 100% of the level of life our Lord manifested in the first expression of the days of the Son of Man. His first 3.5 years. Everything shall be contained in them. A body of people working as one. Now, because that is what he will use, and truly that is not yet revealed, then his body for that purpose is not yet around. So yes, when this is unveiled as the tabernacle and the people he will use, because at that one, if we use that way, say, are you saying God was not upon the earth or the world? No, you can't say that, because there were prophets, there were persons, there was Simeon who was waiting for the, there was another woman who was a prophet. But what was there was the body that he will use. That's what the Magi came to come and see. Likewise, when that body is formed, and that is why we came out of Babylon, that's why we came out of the institutions, the hospitals, the established inn. We came here so that we can be prepped into that body. When that body is formed, then that is equated to the birthing of that physical body that he used. So it's the preparation of that body that marks the beginning of farm.
And so it's not like one by one, like you come in there one time and then 2 years later and that person will be birthed as Christ.
No, see, that's the thing. Now the perfection in question is no longer individual excellences. Is now a corporate perfection. That's why he says, because he says he gave individual excellences to accomplish the corporate perfection. And the individual excellences were apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds. All these were individual excellences. But the goal is to accomplish the corporate, say, till we come to be a perfect man. And that picture has to be accomplished, because that's the vision. The body of Christ is a corporate perfected people as the man of Christ, with the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When that reality is produced, and that reality is simply the first set of people to hit that reality, because all the bride will still have to get there. Those are the people he will use as his seed to prolong his days and complete the last half of Isaiah's week. Episcopal side question.
So as to that now, sorry. So what are we now?
What are we?
Are we a body?
Who? You mean us seated here?
What? Yes. People who are giving the body of people, a group who are following the Lord in spirit and in truth and coming up to that estate. What are we now? Because if, I don't know if I understood properly, but if we get to that state, that when we are to be referred as a body, it's only when we get to that state of a perfected body, right?
No, I feel like Ayeng wants to shed some light.
No, but I wanted to clear that.
Yeah, no. The reference is not to using the term body. It's actually to when the body becomes a perfect corporate man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So yes, we're a body of people evolving to become a perfect, unison, in oneness, as a perfect man, growing, till we come to the, in unison, unity, as a perfect man, headed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and displaying a measure of life that is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
But even as to now, he's seen the seed yet in us. He's saying, where is he? Because he said, who will declare his generation? His generation was cut off, and he didn't say his descendants. But he now said, when he shall be made an offering for sin, then they will see his descendants. And in a current word, John says, except if something come with first heaven and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it will bring forth a many membered body. So the God is seeing the seed, but though as children who are blooming. So he's seeing the seed now in us, each and every one of us. He's seeing the seed as that body, but we are coming up and he's brooding over us, you know, walking over the Lord in the midst of all his mighty, and he's bringing us up to that stage. You know, but we individual, we as a body, we are, the Lord is seeing that, and he shall, and he's betting, or he's interceding that he be better in us. And which aligns in Isaiah still, he says he will see the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. Both the travail when he was carrying that cross, and what he's interceding right now for us in the heavens, and shall be satisfied when he comes into that estate. You know.
Actually my question, because you know, I was from especially the concluding sentence, you know, we want to be deceived, you know, and I was just thinking back to the scripture in Galatians, you know, is it Galatians Galatians 3:57 where it says, you know, we are deceived. So I wanted to just wanted you to expand more, you know,
on that.
Do you rather maybe be the manifestation of the seed, or you know, coming to start? I just wanted that.
Yes, well, it depends on, again, it's going to be nuances. We come back to our favorite two words, positional and experiential. And we can always love those sentences. But, a child, why is a child, is still under tutors and governors, is not yet ready to be unveiled as. There came a point where he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So when we say we want to be his seed, in as much as we are indeed his seed, yes, we are children, but the term son is conferred upon you when you have matured to his estate. In the Jews is at age 30, where he says, this is my son. Now, he has my authority in my household. When he says go, you have to go. So I was saying it from the standpoint of the measure of the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, where we have evolved fully into that, so that we have something to press onto. Considering that we are not yet at the final goal, we are a seed quite all right, yes, but we are not yet where
he wants,
experientially, in the totality of what we are supposed to become, is why
in the totality of what we are supposed to become.
That's why I put it that way. At the manifestation of the sons of God. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God, the revealing of those who have been walked upon. So our desire is to indeed, that's why a scripture says, confirm his inheritance. We want to be confirmed, we want to be made sure in it. Amen. Any other questions? So I guess we can begin to pray.
Sorry, before we pray, I just feel strong in my spirit just to say this. Maybe just in the excitement. I don't want to comfort. Yeah. But you know, sometimes you can be just, it's good to be sober. It's good to message that stuff.
See, you want to pass
away. That's separate. So this is the word, an exaltation, in the form of a teaching. But I couldn't stop but think, just meditating on that, like, I am the seed of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know. Sometimes, sometimes you just chill. I don't know, maybe you might not be saying some kind of things that you want to do. But we just chill sometimes, as if these things are going on.
I was just here, I was just, things were just coming to my mind. Like, my God says, I am the son and the seed of God. Though it does not seem like that now. It does not seem like that. But he has called you his seed. And as long as you are pressing on, as long as Lord is interceding for you, you will not see. It depends on what you're. It depends on what you're seeing. Let's, in fact, let's go back to that scripture we read, which is in Romans, what they call it, Romans 8, talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. We'll start from 17, Romans 8, verse 17. I want us to read it together. You can see this as a form of exhortation again, but I think the Lord wants to encourage us. Amen.
Amen.
I'll just come and let it be for the sake of whatever. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's read it together. Let's be on our feet. Verse 16. Let's start from 16 and we'll end at verse 20. Let's go. The Spirit itself,
spirit that we are children of God, and these children, the heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, we now know Christ will fight together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Pause. Now, if you remember some weeks ago, we said the Son of Man, you are the Son of Man.
Yes.
You suffer many things. Those are dealings, shapings, judgments that will shape you into glory. Those are the things that we will look and we say at this present time, though it does not seem like that, but we know we are going to be somewhere. Yes. Let's continue. He says, for the earnest
expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
The word manifestation, the revelation. Now, a seed. If an apple seed has not bedded or brought forth, does it stop it from being an apple seed?
No.
So when he called, in fact, when Christ looks at you, he sees death. When Christ, he sees Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm getting, I'm the only one getting this excitement. I want to stay there and I do not know myself. I am the seed of Jesus Christ.
Woo! I am the seed of Jesus Christ.
Can we read the Galatians to you?
Yes.
Go.
From verse 26 to chapter 4 of verse 7.
Yes.
So, Galatians 3, starting from verse 26. Can we all go there? And we start. For we are all children of God,
By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Hallelujah.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth not from the servant, though he be Lord of all.
look at your weaknesses. These things don't just fall into us. Remember the Lord, he made reference to it. Say, the Lord said in the beginning, look into darkness, hopelessness, and he said, let there be light. And at the end of everything, he looked again and said, he saw that, he had, that all that he had made and everything he had made, he said it was good, it was perfect. At the end of everything. Now, if you look at your weaknesses today, it does not match. Well, let's, what does the scripture say about that? Can we go to Isaiah 41? And we'll start reading from verse 8. And I want us to take this and meditate on it even as we go in. Because this is a reality. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
1, 2, go.
God, thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, my ancestor, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Pause.
Say the seed.
Is that 41
or 41? 41. Amen. So you see the seed is referred to again. Now it starts to tell, give us a picture of the current state of that seed, going down, just to tell you where you are and where you're going to. Well, the promise is that, says, see the first statement, that thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, if he has chosen me, it is finished. These things are my God. You look at your weaknesses and say, sons of God, say, I will manifest the character of God. See, you have to see, unless you expect it, unless you can desire and expect it, you know, there's no chance of a reality coming. He told Abraham, say, as much as you can see, I will give unto you. So if the Lord has promised, it was this same word that was spoken that Abraham grabbed in Romans 4. And said, they said, he hoped against hope. By the things that were spoken to him. So these things are spoken to us so that we can have that hope of this manifestation. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we continue reading? Thou whom I have taken
from the ends of the earth, I called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all the evil and incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be ashamed, and they shall cry, thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and I shall not find them. Even they that contend with thee, they that boil against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
Please stop.
Fear not.
Fear not, I will help thee. That's a key statement. Grace. Grace, I will help thee. I will that will help. I will help with you. Everything, everything. Uncle was talking some weeks ago. Papa said, we are completing you. My brother, see, we have things to rejoice about every day. Every day. Sometimes I just look, we just do like, and I'm not the most charismatic, but I try. I try something, but I can get what Chidera is like. Just move sometimes. You see these kind of statements, it should push you, it should stir you up. That this is where the Lord is taking you. Remember, change is progressive. It is continuous. And he's doing it. He has started, the fact that you have started salvation is a work. And he's telling you that I will help thee. Fear not. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I want us to continue and see this statement in verse 14. It says, fear not, thou what? One,
Jacob,
ye men of Israel, and I will help thee, said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One
of Israel.
Now he calls us a one, the most the weakest, one of the weakest animals, or you can say creatures on earth. And these are the people he's telling, and you see what he says later. The kind of thing will make a worm in verse 15. What did he say will make a worm? Can we read it together?
Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, that shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as sharp. Thou shalt find them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
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 So how does a worm turn into all of this? Go and check out what a threshing instrument is. Where you go. So it is the work of God. It is the work. I am a seed of Christ, and you perfect it. Can we say together? I am a seed.
I am a seed of Christ.
I am the seed.
I am the seed of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we begin to just speak to God? Just thank Him. These are words of encouragement, putting us in remembrance of who we are in Jesus Christ. He says, who shall declare his generation? And we part of that. I am part of that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah.